Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning. Good to see you here. You know, each week I stand up here and I share with you really important stuff. And last week we started a brand new series about moving beyond your past, okay? And I tried to teach you how important it was that even if your past is full of good stuff, you gotta move beyond that and know that God is more concerned about your today and your tomorrow than he was about your yesterday. But not only that, some of us have some bad stuff in our past, and we need to let that go. We need to turn it loose. We need to give it to God and ask God to help us move beyond that bad stuff into the future and know that he's going to bless us and do all these good things for us if we just really, really, really trust in him. So every week, I always try to share with you really important stuff, okay? And today is no different, all right? What are you guys, are you reacting kind of, oh, that's right. Last week I told you that we might have a baby. Well, all right, here's the thing, okay? Last week I told you we were going to go down to Tennessee and that they were going to induce Sarah on Tuesday morning if she hadn't had the baby. And we were on our way. We left as soon as church was over. And we got about 3 hours away from here. And Sarah called. And I could tell Arlene was talking with her. And Arlene was like, really? And I heard Arlene say something about water breaking. And I'm like, and I just floored it. You know, I'm just flying down the road. And so we went straight to the hospital. And anyway, we stopped in Roanoke to have dinner with her dad. Last week was what? Father's Day. So we went to Roanoke and we were going to meet Arlene's parents, her mother and father, and celebrate Father's Day and treat him to dinner. And we were going to do that. We got out of the car and said, hey, here's $20, buy you a hamburger. We got to go. And we kept on going. Happy Father's Day. And so we got to Sevierville, Tennessee. She was admitted to the LeConte Hospital. You ready for this? How many of you were here the other few weeks ago when I was talking to you about Dolly Parton? Were you here? Okay. Our little grandson, Jack Keegan Warren, was born in the Dolly Parton Birthing Center. I'm not kidding you. I had no idea. Dolly was born in that area, and she actually bought the hospital, I guess, for them. And but anyway, we went straight to the hospital. We got there like at 10 o'clock at night. Now think about it. I came to the church Sunday morning at 5 a.m., and then we, after church, we drove to Tennessee 550 miles, and we got there at 10:15 in the evening, ready for this baby to be born. Well, he wasn't ready to be born. You know, I didn't understand this. I'm glad God gave this job to you ladies, I'm telling you. All night long, I'm sitting there like at every moment thinking, you know, nothing happened. Next morning, nothing happens. Noon, nothing's still going on. Sometime in the early afternoon, they said that she was fully dilated and she could start to push. I thought that was like, you know, when it just was here. Well, after 4 hours of that, the baby still wasn't born. And so they did do a C-section, and Sarah's fine, the baby is fine. And so he was born at 3:54 Monday afternoon, Jack Keegan Warren, 9 pounds and 2 ounces, 22 inches long. He walked Sarah back to the room, said, come on, Mom, follow me. And just a big boy, and there is Pappy and Mims, okay? And I do have the, what did I do with it? Oh, I lost it. I must have left it back there. I have the mandatory 4x6 photo album, okay, with 35 of the newest photos of little Jack, and we will, I'll have those available back there. If you want to see them, all right? I can pray with you and help you receive Christ, or I can show you pictures of my grandbaby. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart today, okay? Hey, listen, in all seriousness, it was just a marvelous week. I did, before I left, I actually took a post-it note, and I wrote my phone number down on the post-it note, and I put it on his little outfit, and I said, Jack, if you need anything, you ask your parents. If they say no, call this number. Okay? So I am well prepared for this. It was marvelous. I actually said to somebody, a friend of mine this morning, I said, what's the over and under as far as how long I should talk about the grandbaby here this morning? I mean, you guys didn't come here for that, but I have a captive audience, and I don't think anybody's going to stop me. But I've been doing this so long, okay, I can segue right into the message this morning, all right? Because I want to talk to you about unforgiveness in just a minute. So if you'll forgive me for the last 5-6 minutes, I want to talk to you about unforgiveness. If you were here last week, you will know that we began by talking about moving beyond your past and how important it was that we don't allow the labels to define us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Okay? That we shouldn't allow our labels to define us. And I said it was important that we not put labels, that we don't allow labels we put on us. Okay? So right here, I'm so good at this. Here's the first grandchild illustration. You ready for it? Okay? Right after he was born, or right before he was born, I posted on Facebook and I said, little baby Warren is stubborn. He doesn't want to come out. And no sooner had I posted that on Facebook that one of you, one of my good friends here, private messaged me back on Facebook, said, Pastor John, did you not listen to your sermon last week? Don't call this child names. And I wrote back and I said, you are absolutely right. Please forgive me. Okay? I mean, listen, folks, it is so important that we allow God to help us to move beyond our past. Today I want to talk to you about forgiveness. And not just about forgiveness, but also about unforgiveness. Because it's important that we not only understand that God gives us forgiveness, and what a wonderful thing that is, but we also have to realize and understand what it does to our life when we are unwilling or unable to forgive other people. Let me ask you a really, really important question this morning. Who's hurt you? Who's hurt you? You know, if I was to ask that, if I were to ask everybody here this morning to raise their hand or to stand up, if you've ever been hurt, every one of us here today would come to our feet, because we've all been hurt. If we are above the age of 3 or above the age of 4, we're all going to say, absolutely, someone has hurt me. Now, sometimes those hurts are just simple misunderstandings or miscommunications. And a lot of times our spiritual enemy will take those misunderstandings or those miscommunications, and he'll use them. He'll use them to drive a wedge between two people that should care very deeply about each other. Other times, it's just a hurt. We've been hurt by someone, and it was an intentional thing. They were in a very cruel and a real way. They did something that they knew would hurt us, and that was their desire. Isn't that tough? Isn't that tough when you have those kinds of things deep inside of you? Now, some of you here this morning, that hurt is right there. It's right in the very front of your heart, right at the top of your soul. Someone has wounded you. Someone has lied to you. Someone has taken advantage of you. Someone has done something to you, and it's just right there. There's others of us here today that we've been wounded, we've been hurt, and it's deep down, and it's hidden. I mean, it's hidden because that's what we have to do to be able to cope. You know, the hurt is so real. It's been so long ago, and we've been unable to forgive that person. To some extent, they might not even know that they've hurt us, but yet we have this deep down, and we just simply have dismissed it, or we've put it in the back of our mind or at the bottom of our heart, and we've just tried to go on. There's some of you here today that are having a hard time functioning because of some deep-rooted hurt. You know, a couple years ago, I was actually at a conference, and I heard a pastor tell a story. He's a pastor from a big church in the Midwest. And he told the story. He said he had the permission of his sister to tell this story, but he told the story of how his sister had been molested by her sixth grade school teacher. And he said it was some years later before it came out, before she was able to tell anybody, before it was discovered. And he said it was just absolutely, it absolutely killed him to think that his little sister had gone through this. Now, he, like most of us, the first thought he had is, I'm going to look this guy up, even though it's years later, and I'm going to make sure that he gets what he deserves. But he knew that there wasn't much he could do about it now. But you see, folks, we need to understand that when we allow that kind of deep-rooted hurt to invade our heart, that it's going to have an effect on us. Here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you about why and how. And I want to talk to you about why we need to forgive, and then I want to talk to you about how you can forgive. You see, I'm a simple person, okay? And I just want us to answer these two questions, because if you take these two questions and ask yourself these two questions, you know, of why is it important that I forgive? And then just to answer the question of how do I forgive? You know, to understand what God can do, how God can help us to do just that. I love this passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. You know, here, that's where we are, right? I mean, that's a description of all of us here this morning. We're standing at the altar. We're praying. We're worshiping God. And he says, while you're there, if you have anything against anyone, do we? I mean, all of us here this morning, to some level or another, this verse is speaking to us. You know, we have something. We have someone that's hurt us. We have someone that's done something. Sometimes just misunderstanding, miscommunication. Other times just people in a real cruel way, an intentional way. They harm us. And we carry this with us. And God wants us to help us move beyond that by understanding that here we are, and it's imperative that we forgive. That's why I ask you why and how. See, it's two simple questions. Why and how? Why do I need to forgive? And then after you understand why, then how do I do that? So let me start with you with the why. You see, some of you may be angry at someone who's no longer living. They're gone, and yet you still hurt. There's bitterness, there's a grudge. Some of you, it might be quite honestly that you're a little angry at God. And you've moved beyond what this other person's done to you, and now you're mad at God because he didn't do anything to stop it or to help you to be able to get beyond it and to forgive. Some of you might be angry at yourself because after all this time, you're unable to let go. You're unable to move beyond that. You see, that's why the why is so important. The why is that unforgiveness damages me. I mean, if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, it damages you. Okay? Second grandson illustration. You ready for it? The day after this little guy was born, the hospital was so wonderful. They just gave us the run of the place, and they were so wonderful during the birth and after the birth. But then the next day, we went in to visit, and we spent part of the day there, and then we went home, and then we went back in the evening. And visiting hours was over at 9 o'clock, and we didn't get there until, you know, I don't know, 8 or something. And the nurse, you know, she said, well, visiting hours are over at 9, meaning we needed to leave. And at 10 minutes after 10, she came in the room. And here I am. Here's Arlene. Here's Kristen. And we're still visiting. And she was like, you know, guys, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And I'm like, don't you know who I am? I'm like, Pappy, okay? I just drove 550 miles to be here. I'm only here for about 24 more hours, and I got to go home And, you know, I went through all these things. Come on, you got to let me stay here. I mean, you know, Mark, the father, you know, he's going to stay here. Why can't I stay here too? I can sleep with him on the couch. I don't mind. You know, but I went through, and in my mind, this is how easy it is for us to get to a point of having unforgiveness, having bitter feelings, and then where it leads to us. All of a sudden in my mind, I'm like making this nurse out to be a bad person because she wants me to leave because it's 10 o'clock at night. Now, I left, okay? I didn't get arrested or anything. I obeyed the rules as best I could. But isn't it easy how we can go to that place and we can harbor feelings, we can harbor bitterness? I love this passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. He says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See, God doesn't want us to miss His grace. God doesn't want a bitter root to grow up in our life. And when we allow that to grow in our life, what does it cause? You tell me. What does it cause? Trouble. What else? And it defiles many. You see, that's what it does. It damages me. See, the devil convinces us that when we harbor these kinds of feelings, that we're heaping some kind of damage on that person and what they did to us and why they did that to us. But in reality, we have to understand the why we need to let this go is because it really damages us. Unforgiveness hurts me. And there's a lot of us, some of us probably here right now today, that we've allowed that bitter root, that root of bitterness. And we may not be completely aware of it because we've learned to function even though we hold a grudge. We've learned to continue with that root of bitterness that grows deep down in the soil of our heart. We water it, we nurture it every day with our resentment and our bitterness and sometimes even our hatred. And even though the Bible tells us to keep no record of wrongs, bitterness keeps detailed records, doesn't it? So why should we forgive? Well, one reason is simply because unforgiveness is like grabbing broken glass and squeezing it in our hands. It hurts us. You know, how many of you have an iPhone? Well, you don't even have to have an iPhone now. If you got a smartphone, have you ever played Angry Birds? Isn't this the most idiotic, dumb game ever? Okay, I got a couple questions. These little birds, why are they angry? You know, and why are they angry at pigs? You know, why are pigs wearing helmets and hiding in wooden structures and metal structures and stone structures? And why are all these little birds so angry at them? And when you shoot the little bird, what does it do? It bounces off and then it rolls down and then it blows up. Sometimes I think we're just like angry birds. You know, we're just flying here, flying there, hoping to do some kind of damage. Seriously? Why would you want to go around holding that kind of grudge that only hurts you? Annie Lamont said this. I love this. She said, unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison and hoping it kills the other person. It just doesn't work that way. So, if you're taking notes, because I need forgiveness, because I understand that unforgiveness damages me. The second why is simply that we realize and understand that I'm going to need forgiveness again. Now think about this. I'm going to need forgiveness again. Why should I forgive? Because I'm going to need forgiveness again. Jesus said it directly. Matthew chapter 6, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will what? He will not forgive your sins. Isn't that amazing? Folks, we just need to understand that the why of forgiveness is simply that I'm going to need it again. And what does this verse say? This verse says that when I need it again, that it's going to be given to me in the same measure that I give it to other people. Now, if you're familiar with this story in the Bible, Jesus tells this elaborate story about a master and about a servant. And it says that the servant owed a debt to the master. It was a debt of 10,000 talents. Now, did a little research on this, and I don't know who did the calculation, but I read that in today's amount of money, that this would be like us owing someone $2 billion. Okay? $2 billion. That was the equivalent of this man's debt that he owed the master. $2 billion. Now, what everybody would say, everybody would have said to him, everybody would say to us, oh my goodness, you can never repay that. The text even says that he could never repay it. So the guy, the servant, what did he do? He did what any of us would do if we owed such an enormous debt. He went and he begged the master to show him mercy. And the master did. And if you're familiar with the story, the servant left the presence of the master, and immediately he saw another guy that owed him basically one day's wage. Now think about that. $2 billion, one day's wage. 10 bucks an hour, 8 hours, $80. $2 billion, $80. And he flew off the handle. He demanded repayment. Had the guy thrown in jail because he could not make the payment. Then this is what we're told in Matthew 18, verse 32. I love it. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Which basically means he died because he was unable to pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Very direct, folks. Listen, this is so interesting to think about this. Because when we understand that we need to embrace God's mercy, it's a wonderful thing to experience God's mercy, isn't it? But here it is. How often am I slow to give mercy? How often is it difficult to show mercy to someone that has wronged me? Why should I forgive? Well, first of all, it's bad for you. It's going to damage you. Secondly, it's really important that you forgive because God says that how you forgive others is the way that you will be forgiven. But you see, folks, we say the same thing always when we go through this. We go through this mental exercise, this semantics kind of gymnastics, and we say, well, you don't know how so-and-so hurt me. And you know what, folks, that's true. I don't know how you've been hurt. You don't know how I've been hurt. We don't know the extent of the hurts that we have. But here's the point, folks. The point is the debt that Jesus Christ forgave for us, we were unable to pay. So how do I forgive someone who's ripped my heart out? How do I forgive someone who for years did such and such to me? How do I forgive someone who's hurt someone that I love? Okay, I'm supposed to do it, but how do I do it? Well, that's what I want to talk to you. How? It all starts, folks, with prayer. It's just simply to bow your head and ask for God's help in being a forgiving kind of person. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, folks, it's really easy to do something other than Jesus' advice right there. Now listen, don't pray I've heard people, laugh about this and, say, I'm just praying that he gets hemorrhoids or something. I'm just praying that, God, I've never said hemorrhoids in church. Is that all right? We do that though, don't we? I mean, it's like, you know, I just want them to get what they deserve. I just, you know, I don't want to do anything myself, but I'm just going to, you know, I just hope that they get what's theirs. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus said, pray for those that have hurt you. Pray for those that have wronged you. Dear God, I pray for those that have damaged me. We should pray like Jesus prayed on the cross. When the creation was mocking the Creator, and Jesus spoke up and looked to heaven, and what did He say? He said, Father, forgive them. You see, here's the interesting thing. Right while they were hurting Him, He prayed. And Jesus taught very plainly, Matthew 5:43, He said, you've heard it said. In other words, this is the kind of popular teaching. Love your neighbor. Hate your enemies. But He says, I say unto you the very opposite of that, to pray for those that have harmed you. So I'm going to ask you, this is tough. Do you pray for those that have harmed you? We should. Here's the second thing. Second thing is, how do I forgive? You know, why? You know, it harms us. The why is that we're going to need it again. How? We need to pray. Secondly, how to forgive someone who's hurt me? You start by praying for them, however you can. And then the second thing is that we need to forgive as you've been forgiven. Now, how do you do that? Well, you examine how God has forgave you. He forgave you completely. He forgave you constantly. And we need to forgive in the same way. I love what Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Bear with each other. Isn't that amazing? There's times that you have to bear with someone. And, you know, to say that another way, even though it's not easy, it might not be easy, but yet we just have to put up with. That's what bear with means. It just means to look beyond someone's idiosyncrasies and the thing about their life and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Now, how do you do that? Well, the Bible is so plain, folks, when it tells us that we forgive as the Lord forgave us. That's how you forgive. You know, matter of fact, Jesus had a conversation with the Apostle Peter, if you remember that, and Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7, right? Now, you can do the math, you can do the multiplication and come up with a number. Any math whizzes, come up with that real quick. Or you can get the point. And the point is that we need to forgive however often it's needed. You see, some of you do the math and you still put a number on it. Jesus is not putting a number on it. He's simply saying that you need to forgive every time it's needed. In other words, the principle is this: the forgiven forgives others. We're the forgiven, so therefore we forgive. You know, I'll never forget that story that I started with there, the preacher that told the story about his sister who had been abused, sexually abused by a sixth grade teacher. This preacher said that he dealt with that for years. And after he became a pastor and he come to understand this idea about forgiveness, the why is that forgiveness damages you, and he said that he'd been damaged by this unforgiveness. This bitter root had grown up in his heart, and he had even prayed for God to do something awful to this person, wherever they were. But he said he finally got to the point when he understood how much God had forgiven him that he wrote that man a letter. This is what he said. He said, now that I've been forgiven by Christ and I realize that I do not deserve His grace, and because I now belong to Him, I offer to you the same forgiveness that Christ gave to me. And then he said, he went on and he explained the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. And he wrote out the plan of salvation of what somebody needs to do to trust in God as their Lord and Savior. And he said he sent it. Said he never heard back from the man. But he said a few years later, he got a letter in the mail from a nurse. It's a hospice nurse who had actually cared for this man the last days of his life. He did get a terrible disease, and he was dying. She said in the letter to this pastor, said that he was unable to read your letter. But she said, I read it to him. And she said, after I finished, he cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And she said, I'm a Christian. And even though he couldn't read it, I read the prayer that you prayed in your letter to him. And through his tears, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I just thought you'd want to know. You see, folks, we have a choice when we allow the deep root of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness to grow up in us. We can either continue to live with the bondage and bitterness, or we can accept the freedom that can come through Christ. So, folks, I pray this week that as you go about your week, that God will help to set you free. That God will help you to overcome the deep hurts that are within your soul. That preacher said that on the day that he forgave that man, he said, God set two prisoners free, him and me. So although we don't know the hurts that we all share, we all know a wonderful and a great God. And you know what, folks? By faith, we can choose the freedom that we can have in Christ rather than the bondage and bitterness that comes with unforgiveness. And right now, in the quietness of this moment, as I pray for you and with you, I want you to know that whatever you're dealing with, whatever is there in your heart, whomever you have that is under bondage in your life because of a deep hurt, you can offer forgiveness. We must offer forgiveness because of the way that God has forgiven us. And when we do, we will be set free and we will be free indeed. Now listen, folks, I know that there's some of us here today that even after all of that, we'll say, yeah, but Pastor John, you do not know what I've gone through. And you're right, I don't. But I do know God. And I know He's faithful to get us through if we'll just trust Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this room full of beautiful people, Lord, that are seeking You. And God, I just recognize the hurts that are here. Lord, I understand that there are many people here this morning that are deeply wounded, have been for a long time. And God, I just pray that we could learn today from Your holy word the why and how. The why of forgiveness. God, it is just so plain from Your word that the why is because it hurts us. The why is that we're going to need it again from You. And Your word is so clear that when we need it from You, that it is given from the same measure that we have offered it to others. So God, having known the why, I pray that we will understand the how. It's not through our own strength, but it's through the strength that you can give us, and we pray. We pray, Lord, for those that have hurt us, for those that have persecuted us. And the how, Lord, is simply that we understand your great forgiveness, and that then we can in turn forgive other people. Lord, I pray a special measure of your Spirit over this room this morning as all of us, Lord, deal with this subject. And help us, Lord, to reach out to you for all that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.